Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belleville.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back, everybody. 4:02 in the Pacific time zone. Time for Toker Talk Radio. Glad you could be here. Plenty of stuff to talk about. I know my wife is all freaked out about the Game of Thrones Season 5 finale
last night.
Don't worry. I'm not going to give you any spoilers because, you know what? I don't care that much about Game of Thrones. I don't really follow it much. You know what bugs me about the show the most? I can't see anything. It's like every goddamn shot is shot with like a half brightness and a blue filter. Like you can't see anybody. You can't see anything. Makes it hard for me to get involved with the show that way. But we got other things to talk about here. Lots of marijuana topics to talk about. Coming up, I've got this great piece off of Vox.com that highlights the double standard when it comes to covering marijuana versus covering alcohol. So that's coming up in just a little bit. Also, we're going to have an update on that man from Albuquerque who lost $16,000 when the DEA seized his cash on an Amtrak train. Got an update on that coming up for you. But first, we got a guest in the studio to visit with. We got Pork Chop sitting in with us. How you doing, Pork Chop?
We're doing great well here in Portland.
Yeah, having a good time. And Pork Chop's a medical cannabis grower here in the state and a patient. And you got some plans coming up, don't you?
Oh, yeah. We're going to tear it up in Oregon, 503. We're going to show them what it's about. We're going to free the weed.
Yeah. Tell them about your free the weed plans, because this is pretty amazing.
My free the weed plan is the veterans program, fuck the DEA program, is going to give out 420 pounds of weed over the next year here in Portland, Oregon. We're going to start out giving out over 200 pounds on July 1st at midnight.
That's right.
Right here in 503.
That's right.
Pork Chop style.
Pork Chop's giving away pounds and pounds of marijuana. And you're thinking, wait a minute. Number one, when, where, what? And number two, how? How is this possible? Well, here's how it's possible, folks. Under the Oregon legalization law, any adult can freely exchange up to an ounce of marijuana with any other adult. But also, medical marijuana patients can still possess 24 ounces. So what that means is a person like Pork Chop, who is both an adult and a patient, can hold 24 ounces and give it out 1 ounce at a time to every adult who comes in. So we are looking at July 1st, midnight, gathering at the Burnside Bridge, and we're going to be giving you the instructions on how to claim your free weed.
It is very hard. We've been putting a lot of time and effort into this because we want to make sure that every patient is served. I'm calling out to all veterans in the United States to come to Portland, Oregon. Pork Chop's projects will get them their medical marijuana card, and we will send them home with their medicine.
That's right.
And that's what we're about. We're building on the medicines that we are saving our lives with. But we got post-traumatic stress here in Oregon.
Yeah.
Well, let's medicate it.
There you go.
And it's time for the federal government to let go, because Porch Out Project, fuck the DEA. We're coming to let it go.
That's
we're
right.
Free the weed.
Free the weed, flood the market, crash the price, man. That's what we're all about. And the other thing about this, too, is you come to Oregon, first of all, if you want to be a medical patient, you can. We don't have a residency requirement. You don't have to be an Oregon resident. You can fly here from Timbuktu. You can come here from Russia. We don't care.
We have a Dr. Rohrer Clinic here that has signed on to our National Veterans Program. All you have to do is call Rohrer up, set him an appointment. You come in, you get your appointment at the doctor's, and then you get your appointment with Dr. Porkchop afterwards to get your medicine to fly home with. What more can we do?
There you go.
Free the weed.
Now, keep in mind now, you don't have to become a patient, because any adult here will be able to accept that ounce. You would just have to stay in Oregon with that ounce. But if you're a medical marijuana patient, PDX has told us all, if you've got your card, you can fly with your medicine. You are legal to have weed in the airport. Where you land may not be legal, but no one's checking you when you land. So
as long as you go home and you medicate in your own house, I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah. Now, you know, be careful, because, you know, where you land, it might be illegal to possess. Yep. But I got to tell you, I know plenty of patients who've flown with lots of weed out of PDX, and it's never been a problem.
Well, I have. I go out and I deliver medicines to other patients with the RSO, and I do fly with that, and I'm grateful to have that opportunity now to be able to get on an airplane and go out and serve patients.
There you go. So that's happening June 30th. It's a Tuesday night going into Wednesday morning, July 1st, when it becomes legal. We'll be continuing that all day. And then as we move forward, you know, I'm the head of Portland Normal. We'll be having these Portland Normal meetings, and the likelihood looks like we'll also be able to give away some marijuana at those meetings, so long as we're doing it in a private way, like in a tent or something. We'll tell you more about that when we come back from break.
The beginning of the end started in 1996 when California legalized weed for so-called medical purposes. 16 years later, Washington and Colorado legalized it outright and let people sell it from storefronts. And what has been the result?
The generation of millions of dollars in tax revenue for the states and creation of hundreds of new jobs in a growing multi-billion dollar industry?
No. Well, yes. But at what cost?
Let's see. The cost of all that police time and money that's now spent going after real criminals and prisons with enough room to hold them all?
No. Well, yes. But look at what it's done to the people.
You mean that fewer of them are dying of alcohol, tobacco, and prescription-related causes since they've switched to cannabis, and many more are receiving medical benefit from a cheap, non-toxic healing herb?
No. Well, yes. Yes. Yes to all of that. But I can smell pot from my backyard. And I can't tell my kids not to do it because it's illegal.
420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get high, educated.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Oh man, I really dig this tune. You should really check out this groove.
Cool.
Hey, check out more deep cuts like this on my show, Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink, every Thursday night on 420 Radio.
Funky Roller Rink.
Welcome back. That's Bob Howard and his boys with If You're a Viper, one of our classic 20th century tunes that we play. from time to time. Also, speaking of our Monday night shows, we used to have the Viper Hour and still do have copies of it that we play from time to time. But for the summertime, we've inaugurated a new show, THC, Totally Hilarious Comedy. And you can catch it tonight and every Monday night at 8 p.m. Pacific. We play a set of stand-up comedy. We play an artist focus of parody music or novelty tunes. And we just have ourselves a good old time on Monday nights with Totally Hilarious Comedy. Check it out tonight. Can't wait to have you here. All right. So going back to our discussion of splitting Oregon into two states, right? I have this plan. I have this idea. I think, now, folks in the chat room don't know what John Day is. John Day is a city. Well, it's a town. It's a bumfuck Egypt is what it is.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's middle of nowhere, little tiny town. And that's where Senator Ted Farrioli, the Republican minority leader who's been throwing a tantrum to get these Eastern Oregon bans, that's where he's from, right? So my plan is we ought to get a bus and bus in 100 tokers to John Day and show up at Ted Farrioli's office with a smoke-in protest. But when we do the smoke-in protest, only half of the people have actual weed on them. The other half have wizard smoke or tootie puff or any of that, you know, fake weed stuff, right? That's not really weed, right? So imagine 50 people with joints of actual weed, 50 people with joints of fake weed, and then force them to issue public consumption tickets to everybody, right? And then when they've issued the public consumption tickets, our lawyer challenges all 100 of them to make the state prove, or make John Day prove, that the people were actually smoking cannabis. Of course, half of them weren't, right? They're smoking Tootie Puff. That's going to cost time. That's going to cost lab. That's going to cost all that extra effort to figure out who's who and what's what. And then for the 50 who actually did have cannabis, our lawyer is willing to pay all of the $100 public consumption tickets. So imagine the fun of holding up a sign that says, "See, Senator Farrioli, this is how messy unregulated marijuana can be." Or how about a sign, "See, Senator Farrioli, if you let us buy from a store, we'd be kicking down 3% to you right now." It's going to take making these people uncomfortable before we get any movement on this and get these Eastern Oregon hicks to let up and understand that a statewide election applies to the state. Now, here's another condition about this, and speed limits right along my train of thought on this, right? Ted Farrioli is an interesting guy because he went from being somebody I was kind of fond of to somebody I'm kind of angry at. And the reason that I was fond of him is because he was the senator who a few weeks back floated the idea that the medical dispensaries should just sell recreational pot. He was the one that said, "Hey, on July 1st, all these people are going to be legal to possess it and grow it, but they got nowhere to buy it. And if they got nowhere to buy it, they're just going to buy it from the black market. So why don't we just let the dispensaries sell it?" And we all went, "Yeah, that's a fucking great idea.
We're ready.
We're ready. We'll do that. Sure.
Doors are open.
Yeah, door. Let's do it, right?" But then, you know, the rest of the legislature, "Oh, we don't know how we'll do the taxes. We don't know how that'll work out, blah, blah, blah." But his reasoning was sound. His reasoning was sound. And that is, if you legalize possession but do not legalize purchase, all you do is add to the black market. You add more people who now can't get busted after they've made their purchase from the weed dealer. You've just increased the black market. And part of Farrioli's his rationale for this proposal was the Cole memo. And this is what all these regulators keep coming back to. They're scared to death of the feds. They're scared. We're not.
We're not in Portland.
Not at all. But the legislatures are scared of the feds. They're scared of this Cole memo. And part of what the Cole memo said is, number one, it should not be used. The Cole memo should, or states that legalize should try to stop interstate marijuana trafficking. That is, we'll let you legalize so long as it doesn't get out of hand and start leaking out of the state. Well, by not giving people in Eastern Oregon a place to buy pot, they're going to go up across the Columbia River and they're going to buy it in Washington State. And they're going to bring it back home with them.
Oh, across the state line?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, think of those guys like in LeGrand or Pendleton, you know, they're kind of north on the east side.
Yep.
They could cross right over into to Walla Walla or Yakima or whatever the hell's right across the river there, right? So right there, by allowing these places to have bans over what is about two-thirds of the landmass of Oregon, you directly increase the chances that there's going to be interstate trafficking. And the other thing the Cole memo said is that the legalization should not be a cover for the black market, right? It shouldn't be a cover for continued illegal marijuana commerce. Well, if you're going to ban marijuana commerce legally throughout two-thirds of the state, you've just increased the black market commerce. Because like I said, at least the black market as it exists under prohibition, the person who buys the weed can still be busted, right? Once they have the weed, it's still possession. They can be busted. But the feds can't force Oregon to bust people for possession, right? So even in their wildest dreams, if they could undo everything they want to undo, they can't undo that part. People will still be allowed to possess an ounce, 8 ounces at home. So people that are allowed to possess means you've just eliminated half of the risk of the transaction. Now, the seller is still at risk. The seller can still be busted for selling illegally. But once it's been sold and that customer has purchased it and has it in possession, that person's no longer at risk. So all we've done is emboldened the entire customer base of the black market in opposition to what the Cole memo wants us to do. So Senator Farioli's logic doesn't even hold up internally. If he was for the dispensaries selling to recreational consumers because of the Cole memo, he can't also be for allowing these local bans that are going to fly in the face of the Cole memo. They're going to contradict the Cole memo in act. Right? Not in deed, but in act, it's going to happen. There's going to be more black market. There's going to be more interstate trafficking. Furthermore, we had a situation where if they allowed the marijuana commerce, and here's an interesting take on this, because I was talking to one of my board members with Portland Normal about this, and she said, Jennifer Alexander, she was the campaign manager for the 2012 legalization that failed here in Oregon, the OCTA, but she traveled around the whole state and she went to these rural areas that hate pot so much. And you know what it is they hate about the pot?
The smell.
Bingo. You are our winner. Exactly. It wasn't that, in fact, you talk to these rural conservative people and their attitude is generally, look, I don't care if someone's in their house and they want to smoke pot. I don't care. But I don't want them growing a big pot garden in the backyard next to my yard where all I can smell is skunk all day.
Well, it's only like 4 weeks out of the year that outdoors they get to smell us.
Yeah, I know.
And that's beautiful. So smell me now.
And that's enough for them. That's enough for their complaint. It's, oh my God, we're going to smell pot. Well, here's the thing. What these Eastern Oregon counties are trying to do is they think that their people hate the pot shops. And it's not the pot shops they hate. It's the backyard grows that smell up the neighborhood that they hate, that their kids can hop over the fence and grab a bud that they hate. That's what they hate. So you ban the pot shops. Where are people going to, what are they going to do? They're going to grow pot in their back freaking yard.
So now we're back in and jumping fence and robbing backyards for weed.
Yeah. If you really wanted the backyard grows to at least be somewhat controlled, you would have allowed pot shops, because most people, given the choice of grow it or buy it, will buy it, right?
Yep.
It's a pain in the ass to grow weed, right? A little bit, right?
A little bit.
I mean, it's not.
When the fucking DEA comes in and kicks your door in, it kind of confuses you once in a while.
A little bit. You've been raided.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, I have been raided.
And that's the thing is there what they're doing is counterproductive to their own goals. If they really, really wanted to reduce how many home grow gardens there would be, they'd allow the pot shops. Now they're going to find that without pot shops, there'll be all these home grows, and then they're going to bitch about legalization causing all this problem when it's them that introduced the problem by not allowing the legalization to take place the way it was written.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech?
Drug school.
There's a drug school?
Drug school, I'm in.
I think I could go graduate magna cum laude from drug school.
Maybe the DEA needs to go to drug school.
Yeah, the DEA could use some drug school, that's for damn sure.
I need a teacher.
I'd like to see that. Hey, me and Porkchop will be right back. We got to take a break because it's 4:20 and, well, you know the rules. We'll see you in a minute.
4:20.
Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Monday, and that means it's time for us to visit with the newly unemployed Bacon Dan. How you doing, Dan?
Well, no longer unemployed. I just got hired by the Green Dragon.
Oh, my God. So within 1 week, we went from unemployed to employed. That's good news, man.
Yeah, and I also just interviewed at a brand new dispensary opening up on Hawthorne. So things are looking up, I can say.
What is the Green Dragon?
The Green Dragon is a 50-tap beer hall owned by Rogue Brewing.
Yes. So,
do they have green beer there?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Do they got green beer there?
They have green beer?
They don't have green beer, but they have a secret tap called Tap 19 that is always an Imperial and at least 9%.
Ooh, very nice.
I like 10%, but we'll do 9.
9 will do just fine. Yeah, this is, of course, Portland is known as Beervana around the world for our great selection of craft brews and places with 50 taps. That's like, I mean, that would be, you know, big news anywhere else. But here in Portland, how many places we got like that?
We have quite a few. And I will say, my being part of 420 Radio actually helped me get this interview at the dispensary I was at today.
Oh, see the Belville bump working again there.
Boom, boom.
Exactly.
That's great news. Other stuff that you're involved in, of course, the Who's the Ross show with Aaron Ross. And looks like we got a big legalization episode coming up.
Absolutely. The final night of cannabis being illegal in this great state, in the Beaver State, our very own Ross Belville will be on Who's the Ross? And we will go from Dante's to the Made in Oregon / White Stag / Portland, Oregon sign at midnight to smoke up and enjoy the sweet taste of freedom.
Yeah, it's so cool because...
Smoke up.
Yeah, that's right, man.
Smoke up.
That's right.
We're going to smoke up at midnight?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
We're going to do it here in Portland?
Yeah.
Well, I'll give 420 pounds of weed to make it happen.
All right. There we go. The plan is set, man. And this is great. The Aaron Ross Show is at Dante's, which is at 3rd and West Burnside. So we're only like 3 blocks. We got to walk to get to the bridge where we're going to do the big legalization ceremony. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
I think I'll set up at 420 on the day, on the 30th. Anybody that wants to come up on the bridge, on Burnside Bridge, and sit with me until midnight, we'll show Oregon what it's all about.
That's right. All right, let's get to our tune here, Bacon Dan. What do we got?
Oh, we've got the legendary, the man himself, Hank Williams III, a.k.a. Hank III, with beautiful song Rebel Within. I felt it was such an appropriate song, especially given my brand new job and everything going on in Oregon and around the world, you know, Cascadia. I mean, as of July 1st, Cascadia is cannabis, like the most cannabis-friendly zone in pretty much the world.
That's right.
And it's awesome. So this is from his 2010 album, also called Rebel Within. I just absolutely love this song. He references smoking in it. As we all know, Hank III is definitely a fan of the herb.
Yeah.
So this is a great one to sit back. It's hot as hell right now in Portland, and so I figured, the appropriate song, and I have to plug yet again, I will be a guest on Tom Green tonight. So TomGreen.com, jump on our After Tonight show, and you will see me. I'll be the gentleman with the shaggy hair and the Canadian flag in the background.
All right. We'll see you on the Tom Green show tonight. And right now, Hank Williams 3 with Rebel Within.
Whiskey that I drank 4 days. Was it 'cause I don't strong. I guess that's the curse of living out my songs. Born with bad blood since day number one. Hell, I was worse off than a loaded gun. The life I lead has always been fast and mean. And I never let the hard times make me weak. The bottle's getting lower again, my friend. So let's get damn loud and show the rebel within. And I'll do it right, you can do it wrong. Just look out, darling, cause you know I'm cock strong. You can do me right and I'll do you wrong. Look out, darling, cause I'm showing you the rebel within.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Dick and Dorothy Rogers.
Hello,
sir. Hello. It's a wonderful party.
I'm glad. But excuse me, I must keep the customers happy. You coming, Larry?
Coming, Mother. Oh, that's all I need. Fine. Take care. I'll be right back.
Always in action.
Say, when are we going to do that show together, Judy?
We've been talking about that show for so long, it's gotten to be a running gag.
That's only because you're never in New York.
Welcome back, everybody. That was some video from Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney. There's a song coming up, but I didn't want to wait till the song played. It was going to be quite a bit of dialogue, so might as well get back on the air to discuss the latest in marijuana news and information for y'all. And I've got this great article that I'd like to read for you. Came off of Vox.com. I'm gonna alter it just slightly as I read it, but the point is true. So check this one out. Dateline New Orleans. An ongoing drug epidemic has swept the U.S.,
killing hundreds and sickening thousands more on a daily basis. The widespread use of a substance called ethanol, also known as booze, has been linked to erratic and even dangerous behavior, ranging from college students running naked down public streets to brutal attacks and robberies. Federal officials suggest this drug has already been linked to 88,000 deaths each year across the country, including traffic accidents caused by drug-induced impairment, liver damage caused by excessive consumption, and violent behavior. Experts warn that it can also lead to nausea, vomiting, severe headaches, cognitive deficits among children and teens, and even fetal defects in pregnant women. Excessive consumption of ethanol is a leading cause of preventable deaths in the United States. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Principal Deputy Director Ileana Arias said in a statement, quote, "We need to implement effective programs and policies to prevent binge drinking and the many health and social harms that are related to it, including deaths from ethanol poisoning." Here in New Orleans, the horror of the drug was particularly prominent in the city's French Quarter, where hundreds of young adults could be seen roiling from the effects of the drug. Some collapsed on the ground, dazed from ethanol's effects. Others could be seen vomiting in public, a common result of drinking ethanol. Many could be seen limping and clumsily walking down the street, showcasing the type of impairment that public health officials warn can lead to accidents, especially when someone is behind the wheel of the car. What's worse, public use of this drug has become widely accepted in some circles. In New Orleans, several men and women in their 20s and 30s shouted that they're going to be wasted, a slang term for coming under the effects of ethanol. Some have even turned drinking ethanol into a game that involves ping pong balls and cups. In other places, there have been similar reports of individuals engaging in bizarre, inexplicable behavior while under the effects of ethanol. Some reports found intoxicated college students exposing themselves to others or running the streets naked while shouting hysterically, particularly during springtime. Others report people urinating in public streets and after a few ethanol beverages. And at least one man who consumed ethanol tried to ride a crocodile and was seriously injured when the animal fought back. One law enforcement official said, quote, "It actually starts to rewire the brain chemistry. They have no control over their thoughts. They can't control their actions. It's just a dangerous, dangerous drug," end quote. Across the U.S., public health officials have linked ethanol to much graver effects, including domestic abuse, sexual assault in college campuses, 40% of violent crimes in the United States, and more than 4.6 million emergency room visits in 2010. According to federal data, ethanol is already the second deadliest drug in the country, topped only by another legal substance called tobacco, which causes an astonishing 480,000 deaths each year by some estimates and 540,000 by others. No other drug comes close to the staggering fatalities of these two. Heroin, which has consumed widespread media attention in the past few years, was linked to fewer than 9,000 deaths in 2013, and marijuana, another drug that federal lawmakers, including President Obama, have warned is dangerous, reportedly caused zero overdose deaths in the past few thousand years. Despite the heightened public health crisis, federal and state officials seem reluctant to do anything about the drug, which remains legal for adults 21 and older to possess and even sell in most of the United States. Policymakers say that banning ethanol is out of the question, citing its importance to the economy and American culture. Drug policy experts have suggested levying higher taxes on the drug or bringing its sales under state control, pointing to numerous studies that have shown these measures would reduce use. But lawmakers at the state and federal levels seem reluctant to take up even these milder measures, likely under the influence and lobbying of drug producers and dealers profiting from hundreds of billions of sales of ethanol each year. Perhaps as a result, ethanol producers have felt free to advertise their product during major televised events, such as the Super Bowl, which is viewed by millions of children each year. The marketing ploys tend to portray ethanol as cool and fun, seldom mentioning the risks and thousands of deaths linked to the drug. As policymakers stand idly by, alcohol consumption has reached epidemic proportions. A recent Gallup survey found nearly two-thirds of Americans admitted using ethanol, even as another survey by Gallup found more than one in three Americans blame ethanol for family problems. For many public health officials, the startling numbers pose the question, what will it take to wake up the public and officials to this widening epidemic? That's off of Vox.com, and I'm going to paste the link to that article, because the headline of the article is, imagine if the media covered alcohol like other drugs. And that is one of the best written satires I have read on this, because absolutely, anytime there's any little study showing the slightest little problem with marijuana, it's front page news. It gets 400 articles written about it. You find it in every paper from the Washington Post all the way down to your small town news. But meanwhile, drinking alcohol, the legal drug, is contributing to 88,000 deaths each year. But with drinking, nobody considers it some big drug epidemic. And when some kids do die from drinking alcohol, like at a spring break party or a kegger, somebody has an alcohol overdose, it's always treated as if it's some rare event, as if it's some, you know, something we have to accept, just something that happens if people are drinking. But the one kid jumps off a balcony in Denver after eating a marijuana cookie.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Now it's time to ban the whole thing. Now it's a public health crisis. You know, bang the gong.
And children, you know.
Think about the children, won't you?
Yep.
So this was a really refreshing take to be able to read this coverage of alcohol as if it were pot, as if it were any other drug, that whatever the latest drug menace might be. And this is something that I would encourage you to do in your day-to-day activities and just speaking with other people about these issues. I've had a thought experiment that I do with people sometimes, and ethanol is the word that I use because most people don't know that ethanol means alcohol. So if you use the word ethanol, you can kind of sneak this discussion in to them by saying something like, yeah, you know, I know they've legalized marijuana, right? But do you think they ought to legalize ethanol? And people go, ethanol, what's that? And you can say, well, it's this drug called ethanol. And when you consume it, it makes you hallucinate. It makes you lose control of your emotions and your impulses. It leads to violence. It can wreck your liver. It causes cancer. It damages your brain, and it can kill you. And most people will go, well, hell no, no, we shouldn't legalize ethanol. That drug sounds awful. And then you point out to him, well, ethanol's beer. Ethanol's wine. Ethanol is Jack Daniels, man. And that's part of the framing of marijuana. And it was partially successful with the whole marijuana is safer campaign, right? Get people to understand that we accept alcohol. We accept this drug that is, by all measures, the worst drug. Like, if you could line the drugs up, let's say no drugs are illegal, line them all up, and pick the ones that should be illegal based on how much they harm people, alcohol and tobacco would be at the top of the list. They'd be up there above heroin, people. They'd be up there above heroin. You know, most of the deaths that occur from heroin don't occur specifically because it's heroin, but they occur because the amount of heroin you're getting and its purity is unknown, right? And so people don't know that they're injecting too much. When they overdose, they may be injecting exactly what they injected the last time, but the last batch wasn't as pure as this batch. Now, when it comes to Jack Daniels, I can buy Jack Daniels and it says 80 proof. I don't go buy one bottle of Jack Daniels that's 30 proof and the next bottle of Jack Daniels is 170 proof. I don't end up taking three shots of Jack Daniels and going, holy shit, that was 170 proof. I'm going to be fucked up. Or take three shots of Jack Daniels that are 30 proof and go, hey, what's going on? I don't feel nothing. No, we know that there's a standard that when I get Jack Daniels, it's going to be 80 proof and it's not going to make me go blind or cause any of the problems that moonshine used to do back in the day.
But we do cannabis with moonshine now in Portland.
Yeah, that's true. I've heard that. But it's the problem of prohibition that causes most of the overdoses with heroin. And similarly, when you're talking about cocaine, when you're talking about any of these powder drugs or pill drugs, MDMA, meth, any of these things, more of the danger of those drugs is attributable to the fact that they're not standardized, tested, and guaranteed for purity than the fact that those drugs themselves are going to kill you. Now, I don't want to dismiss altogether the danger of heroin or meth or coke. But I am telling you that whatever danger they have, they're far more dangerous illegal. And the same goes for marijuana. Marijuana is more dangerous when it's illegal. Marijuana is never going to kill you, but a pissed off dealer or a DEA agent might. The illegality of marijuana introduces a danger to marijuana that doesn't naturally exist. We have a situation where markets are controlled by gun-wielding criminals rather than law-abiding business people that take their disputes to court. And you have the unintended consequence of marijuana prohibition, and that would be what we're seeing as this rapidly escalating admissions to emergency rooms and deaths from the use of synthetic cannabinoids. That spice, that K2 crap that they sell, that fake pot that they sell. And those have the same problem the moonshine did. Nobody knows what they're spraying on that fake pot or how pure it is or how potent it is. You might buy a package of K2 from one convenience store, smoke it, and have yourself a good time. The next package you get might be 10 times more potent and really mess you up. And these synthetic cannabinoids, as Dr. Mitch mentioned earlier, are powerful agonists. And to understand what that means, we have cannabinoid receptors in our system, right? Like all throughout our bodies, our brains, all throughout our organs, we have these cannabinoid receptors. And they respond to anandamide. Anandamide is this natural chemical we produce in our bodies. It's our natural cannabinoid. And it's a major part of our body's functioning. We have to have this. Without anandamide, our bodies don't work, right? So we've got these receptors. And if you think of a receptor, maybe one way to think of it is to think of it like a bell, right? So imagine there's a bell and anandamide comes and rings that bell. Ding, right? Anandamide comes over there, rings that bell. Now, we also have tetrahydrocannabinol, THC, that you get in a cannabis plant. It's an exocannabinoid. That means outside of the body. It's produced by a plant outside of the body. But THC also rings that bell, right? Just like anandamide does. And maybe a little stronger than anandamide does. Maybe anandamide is like ding, ding, ding. And then pot is like ding, ding, ding. Like really rings that bell, right? Well, these synthetic cannabinoids blow the bells up. Right? They explode the bells. Like if THC is hitting that bell with a little hammer, then these synthetic cannabinoids are blasting it with an artillery shell. That's the level that the reason they made these synthetic cannabinoids is they're working. Okay. So imagine you got your laboratory and they're working on lab rats, right? So you're working on a lab rat and you want to figure out if this particular receptor, if you do something to it, does it make a change? Now, if you go the natural route, you're going to be there for years trying to figure out what this particular receptor does. So what you do is you come up with a molecule that's a super agonist. It's like a turbocharged version so that you can speed up the process. You can get an idea, you know, how bad is this really going to work? What's this really going to do? You accelerate, you turbocharge the process. And in so doing, you create a molecule that trips that receptor at far, far, far greater a level than nature ever intended. So all you kids out there that are out there smoking the K2, the spice and all that, you are kicking your endocannabinoid system's ass. And it's only a matter of time before you get that artillery shell of K2 that blows your endocannabinoid receptors away. And I mean that metaphorically. I mean, it's not like your receptors disappear, but I mean, you know, overcharges them, overstimulates them. I think of that scene in Clockwork Orange where Malcolm McDowell's got his eyelids pried open and it's like that, but marijuana, right? It's just overdoing it. So these are the consequences of keeping marijuana illegal. It makes the marijuana itself more dangerous and it makes the alternatives more dangerous as well.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs. That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no, it's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly. If I said some silly thing, then that's the reason why.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn. Or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
If you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana, less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way. For more information, visit marijuanaissafer.org.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
Welcome back, everybody. Last segment of the show, that's Louis Armstrong, noted marijuana aficionado, with Going Back to Indiana. Make sure you join us later tonight, 8 p.m. Pacific time. We've got Totally Hilarious Comedy coming up. We'll play you some parody music. We'll have our Weird Al Yankovic song of the day. We've got some novelty tunes and some stand-up comedy coming to you tonight. Stay tuned for that. 8 p.m., Totally Hilarious Comedy. All right, I wanted to report on the Portland Cannabis Cup. I get a lot of questions from people. I heard there's going to be a Cannabis Cup in Portland. It's going to be a Cannabis Cup.
Oh, yeah. We've been hearing about it for the last 4 months at the Expo. It's like the Cannabis Cup's coming. Well, where is it?
Exactly.
Hello. We got money. We want to get our booths, and we want to get set up so we have a beautiful time. Why do we have to wait until 30 days before the show?
Yeah. No kidding.
We are Portland. We are free to eat here.
Yep. And so this erupted into a social media controversy today. Now, on Friday's edition of the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, we had Danny Danko on the show. And Danny mentioned that there will be a Portland Cannabis Cup, and it will happen July 25th and 26th. But he didn't yet know where it would be held. They haven't placed it up on their website yet. If you go to cannabiscup.com, they still have a Portland page, but it just says coming soon. Now, I'm getting a Twitter follower who tells me the rumor is that it'll be at Portland Meadows. We'll see about that. But where the controversy existed is that Coral Reefer, one of our friends on the show and a fellow kind of professional pothead blogger like myself, she's based out of San Francisco, and she's got over 40,000 followers out there. And so she asked Danny Danko online about, you know, what's going on with the Cannabis Cup. I mean, we're about 5 weeks out and people need to make plans. They have to like book flights and book hotel rooms. And if you're going to have a booth, you got to get your booth registered and figure out how you're going to ship everything to get it there. I mean, there's a lot of work that people do to be a part of these cannabis cups.
There's a lot of work just bringing in the flower to enter.
Oh, exactly.
You know, we can't do it unless we got the time and date.
Exactly. And so that's where the controversy begins, is that Coral Reefer had asked about some of that stuff. And, well, it got nasty. It got nasty on the social media. We had Danny Danko and Elise McDonough from High Times both responding. And, you know, both basically saying, you know, you are complaining a lot for someone who gets comped for free to go to these events. And that took a nasty turn, and they started, you know, bitching and whining at each other and hurling this, oh, that's a lousy customer service, and blah, blah, blah. It just went back and forth, and it wasn't really even necessary. It seems to me, now, I want to give some props to High Times. I mean, putting these together can't be easy, right? It can't be easy to say to a city or a venue, hey, we're going to bring in 20 to 50,000 people to smoke weed openly. Cool with that? Right. I can see where that's difficult. But knowing that it's that difficult, why would you announce it unless you had it all locked down? That's, I don't have the problem with, yeah, it's hard to get one of these things put together. I don't have a problem with that. The problem I have is getting everyone's hopes up and telling them it's going to be in July and people wanting to plan for it and still 5 weeks away, not having it locked down. It makes it tough for people to have to plan this. Whoa. And so I feel bad because, you know, Coral's a friend of mine and Danny and Elise are friends of mine. And of course, we are real tight with High Times Magazine here at 420 Radio. But I think there should be an understanding that, you know, on one side, let's understand that High Times, it's difficult for them to put these together. But let's understand on the other side that if you are going to say you're putting one together, people are counting on you. People are trying their best to plan for this and make arrangements and set their schedules. And so, you know, maybe 2015 was rushing it. You know, our legalization doesn't even go into effect until July 1st, and our legislature's still in session till July 1st. They haven't even yet passed the bills that set up the regulations yet. So I can imagine if you're a venue out there and High Times is calling you and saying, hey, we want to have 20 to 50,000 stoners running around. Is that going to be cool? You're going to turn to your lawyer and say, well, is it cool? And your lawyer is going to go, fuck if I know, the law's not written yet. So it's just a big mess. And maybe a Portland Cup should have been, you know, held off until 2016. Once we knew what the laws were, once some pot shops come into existence.
Well, pretty soon they're going to have to call it off unless they come out with a date, because the growers ain't going to be able to get their flower to the show in time.
Exactly.
You know, and we're trying to produce good flower for these shows. How are we going to do it when we only got 2 days to go to the show?
Yeah, it just
can't work.
It can't work like that. So I've got my fingers crossed. I want this Portland thing to happen. And, you know, of course, I'm in the position where I don't have to book a flight or a hotel room, right? So if they decide to have it, oh, I'll go across town and be at it. If they don't, well then I got a weekend free.
Other guys come in like Denver and Arizona and stuff, come up to Portland and play against me, you know, because that's how it is up here. We're growing pot up here and we're real.
That's for sure. Absolutely. So, you know, I want to just give my best to Coral Reefer and to Elise and to Danny, and I hope y'all can make up, because we should all be friends here.
Enjoy.
And I think also what happens is sometimes when you get these things going through Twitter, 140 characters isn't a lot of room for nuance and understanding. Right. So people can take it the wrong way when it isn't meant the wrong way. And then it just gets accelerated and amplified through retweets and all that crap. I think High Times is doing the best they can do. I think they will come through with the Portland Cannabis Cup. I think they could have planned better as far as telling us all about it. But let's try to make up. Let's try to make it so that we're all on the same side. Well, there's that too. And we could spend a whole another hour on that, but we're out of time. What do you know? Look at the clock. hey, I want to thank Porkchop for sitting in with us here on the show and freeing the weed 420 pounds at a time. That's all the time we got here for the Russ Belleville show, but stay tuned. We've got the Activism Hour coming up. We've got all sorts of great clips from Leap and Magical Butter and many others, Americans for Safe Access and Normal chapters as well. If you missed any of the first 2 hours, stay tuned because at 6 o'clock they replay, and then again at 8 o'clock, Totally Hilarious Comedy is on live. For Pork Chop, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.